Hey, grandkids, welcome to OPA number 11. It is my lucky number, so this is going to be a lucky show. What do you think, Ken?
Wow. Hey, I'm doing great, by the way. I had no idea that 11 was your lucky number.
And on the level of smartass from 0 to 10, what would you say your smartassery is at the current moment?
Probably a 7.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Solid 7. Yeah. No, it's a little too short to really give it full marks, I would say.
I've got to build my smartassedness over time, so...
Well, I guess I was thinking more that you need to have more of a statement than that to really let the sarcasm drip.
Yeah. Well, I'll build up to it, you know. I don't want to give... You know, I don't want to blow people's minds too much right off the top. We got to, we got a whole show to go here. It's a marathon, not a sprint.
Well, I mean, if we wanted people's minds blown, then we could talk about the mind-altering...
Yes, I like where you're going.
...machine that was developed at MIT, I believe.
Yes, well...
That sends a very... Like, it was 2 milliamps to your brain to help overclock it, as they would say in computer terms.
Yeah, it seemed kind of interesting in that, you know... They've tried it on some people, and there hasn't, because it's such a small voltage, it's not really been harmful to people. But, and it's what, transcranial electric shock, I think it's called?
Yeah, I believe that's it.
TCES? Something along those lines, you know?
Right, yeah, and I didn't pull it up, so
I'm
going to
put quotes around that one.
Keep on moving.
So it's they put a little bit of, you know, voltage through your brain, and they can place it in different parts of your brain, like areas that they want to stimulate for whatever task it is that you're going to be doing. So like, there was actually, I should have linked this too, but I can send you the link also. There was a great radio show called Radio Lab that did a podcast about this.
Uh-huh.
Where it was woman was the reporter for the story. She went out to Colorado or something where they were testing it, and it found out that they had a simulation of shooting in a combat situation, except, you know, it was kind of like a holodeck situation, I guess I'd say.
Oh, okay.
So, like, there's, like, full immersion with, you know, video, but you have, like, a gun that you shoot, but not real, you know? And then you try to avoid, you know, getting shot yourself.
Right.
Am I painting a picture? Am I painting a word picture here for you?
You are.
Okay.
And it's, transcranial direct current stimulation.
Oh, I was so close. Transcranial direct current. So, TCDC.
Yes.
Okay. Anyway, so thanks for putting me in my place. I appreciate that. So she went through, normally this test that they do where it's like a simulation where they train, you know, army type people or like SWAT teams or whatever.
Okay.
To like, you know, deal with the situation where there's like a shooting situation, I guess.
Right.
And so she took it the first time through and like did pretty bad, like about as low as you can get, they were saying.
Okay.
And then went through it again with this TCDC, and she was able to like nail everything, like she did, you know. And then like the time just seemed to fly for her, she said, and it was like she was in the zone, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So,
and that was kind of one of the interesting things too, is that not only does it help overclock, like, I mean, it really seems like it does the trick. I'm trying to think of And I did love how they had to give the do not try this at home, but then they tell you exactly in detail
how to actually do this.
How to actually do this.
Hey, don't do this. It's like every step of the process should be, and definitely don't hook up the 9-volt battery to the resistors and then place the electrodes to your temple in anything like these positions here that people are talking about. Yeah, and they do link to like a website where list the different like positions for the recommended positions for the electrodes to be in. So
right,
it is kind of funny, like you say, to have that disclaimer there. that's a real fig leaf, you know.
Right. Yeah. That is as small a fig leaf as you're gonna find.
I dare you to find a smaller fig leaf.
Fans of OPA, you know we always ask so much of you. Find a smaller fig leaf, please.
I don't believe there's a smaller fig leaf than this situation here. You know, any Renaissance paintings you're likely to see, the fig leaves are going to be a little bit bigger, at least.
Yeah, and, you know, when I was reading the article, and I guess I wasn't surprised by this finding, because, and I maybe have told this story before, but it's always worth retelling, is that my friends in AP Physics, along with our AP Physics teacher in high school, they created an electric chair out of your ordinary school desk.
They converted a school desk into an electric chair.
Correct.
Was this like some kind of performance art piece? Kind of a...
No.
Alice Cooper-like situation?
I'm not quite sure. I've got to be honest with you. I'm not quite sure why they did it.
I mean, it would make a great like piece in a video, music video, I'd say. But
yeah.
I'm just throwing it out there. But I don't know if they're listening to the show. And they still have that electric desk, electric school desk.
I would imagine they took it apart. Well, I do believe they took it apart at some point before the end of the year.
What a shame. Wait, so they actually used a school desk at the school?
Yes.
Wow. I wonder how they got sign-off on that one.
Yeah, no, I'm guessing it was a different time back then. maybe now that would be very, very frowned upon.
Well, so they actually had a current hooked up to this chair?
Yes. I know this because I sat in it.
Okay.
Because, I'm trying to think. It's not the watts, it's the amps that kill.
Right, right, right.
So, and that was the other part of the article that didn't surprise me. Because they said it was 2 milliamps, so I mean, they are applying a very small.
Yeah, no, it is like a
current,
like a 9-volt battery, maybe. Like it's not, you know, anything that's gonna overwhelm your body or anything.
Yeah,
no, I mean, some that we should say that some people have reported having like irritation or even burns around the area. And I guess there's like you can. Like amp up the voltage slowly, that kind of helps with that. But
right.
So I think there's kind of some potential, you know, at least there was examples of minor side effects, I guess you'd say.
Like, oh, right.
So that is something to be taken into consideration, I guess.
Yeah, and yeah, I actually sat in the electric chair, and they zapped me.
And where did they zap you? The nipples? what kind of...
I think I had to... I think I just had them in my arms.
Okay. This is really weird, by the way.
Yeah, no, and really stupid, to be completely honest with you.
What were you supposed to learn from this experience?
They just asked me if I wanted to be shocked, and I said yes.
So you thought they were going to show you like a dirty picture or something, and then you got
No, they did not mislead me with dirty picture talk.
Hey man, do you want to get shocked? Like, yeah, sure. What do you got? All right, come over here. We're going to shock you. Oh man. I thought you were going to do the other kind, you know.
Yeah.
At least they didn't mislead you.
So they actually applied a direct current through my system, and it honestly was the best wake-up I have ever had. Because it was very early in the morning, like 7:30 or something like that, and I remember at that time I drank a lot of Mountain Dew in the morning. So for something to blow off, you know, I'd have like two or three cans of Mountain Dew before going into school.
Yeah.
So, you know, for something to have that kind of effect, I was really surprised, I guess. I don't know why I was surprised. I mean, an electrical current was running through my system.
Mm-hmm. You know, this, it was interesting because they said it was like, when the current goes through your brain, it kind of, if I'm understanding correctly, and I'm probably oversimplifying this, but it will make the kind of pathways all line up in one direction, like the current flowing through. Oh. So then it kind of lets signals pass more quickly. It is kind of like, you know, literally overclocking, although hopefully not. Overheating your brain. You may have to put a heat sink on your brain at some point in the future.
Yeah, well, and that was definitely something that they did make a point, and this was more than a fig leaf, was that they haven't tested it out on very many people, and there haven't been any real studies to confirm this.
Yeah.
I mean, they did mention that several times in the article, which to me... does warrant consideration also.
Yeah.
No. You know, small sample sizes are always bad, really, in just about anything.
Yeah.
So the larger the sample size, the better chances here that you're getting things right.
Yeah, it's early stages with this one, so proceed with caution, I guess I'd say.
Yeah, and I would not suggest sitting in a homemade electric chair. I'm just...
No, it sounds like you would. I mean, that kind of came off as an endorsement of a homemade electric chair, because you said it was it was better even than Mountain Dew.
Yeah. No, it was. I mean, I would imagine that this is... but, you know, you never know what that would do over time. Like, I guess it works once. Like, I'm not sure I'd want to continually do something like that, though.
Like, to have something that would just shock you every so often?
Oh, right. Like, you know, if they find out that, you know, you can do it over the course of your lifetime, you know, let's say they just keep on, you know, let's expound on what could happen, you know, if the research continues. You know, maybe they find out that you can overclock your brain all the time.
True. I mean, they're usually...
Or even a longer time frame, need an on-off pattern.
Yeah. And I mean, we're seeing the man and machine kind of merger coming along more and more, I think. And, it wouldn't be too surprising eventually just to, like, be able to have, you know, like, a little pack, you know, that you put on your head and it, you know.
Yeah, it shocks you when you can be overclocked.
Yeah, right.
And it just helps calibrated. Make everyone in society
so,
more
sure. Like, when you're driving,
efficient.
It could turn it on and make you a better driver. Or
boy, that would be nice.
Yeah.
There are a lot of bad drivers.
That's true. And the funny thing is that the parts to create such a device that would do this are not expensive, really. The story I
think
listened to, they said you could get the parts for like $20, but so it may be more than that if you wanted to get a little fancier, but
I thought For some reason, I thought it said $90 or something like that.
Yeah,
like,
probably if you wanted to get, like, good electronics and stuff, yeah. There's probably a premium you pay for some things, but, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you could get
since you're talking about, you know, putting your brain, maybe, pay the extra, you know, go the extra, you know, pay the $90 instead of the $20.
Yeah, I would
you
think...
You only get one brain. This is just a message to our audience. A reminder.
Yeah, no, I always like how Joe Rogan puts it, protect your meat wagon.
Your meat wagon?
Yeah.
Well, that's right.
And yeah, your brain is part of your meat wagon, that's for sure.
Maybe the driver of your meat wagon.
Yes.
You've got to protect the driver of your meat wagon.
Yeah.
Especially. Because if like you have a meat wagon...
It's like the quarterback of your meat wagon.
Because if you got a meat wagon without a driver, then it's just sitting there and not doing anything. And that's not really helping anybody out.
No, it is not.
But you know what might help somebody out?
I was going to say a blanket.
Yeah, like a blanket that, I don't know, maybe it could kind of just tell what kind of mood you were in. And
yeah. I mean, since we're on the brainwave course here, there was another short video that Ken sent me that British Airways decided to do an experiment with, I think real passengers?
Well, it wouldn't be an experiment, I don't think, unless they were...
Well, I mean, they could have just invited them onto a plane that wasn't flying.
Well, that would be really lame. Like, all the annoyances of getting on a plane without any of the actually getting anywhere. Now,
yeah.
All the blankets would just be, like, glowing red.
I'm not going anywhere. We're still on the tarmac. What the fuck?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I should say that the blankets supposedly can somehow...
Through a little Bluetooth-type device.
Can tell your mood, yeah.
Yeah, and a little electron thing on the side of your head. Can tell this blanket whether you're in a happy mood, which is blue, or you're angry, which is red.
Yeah, and they found out when people had food, they were happy, and when they slept, they were happy, and otherwise, they weren't as happy. That's, I think, what the upshot was from this experiment.
Yeah, I mean, I can't believe that on a flight, you would be unhappy. I mean, you're just uncomfortable.
Yep.
It's
never that much fun just to sit there and stare at nothing. Like, although these flights look kind of cool to me. Like they had.
It reminded me of taking JetBlue. Because they have individual TVs in the headrests in front of you.
Yeah. And they were pretty fancy looking, I thought.
Yeah, because they had the individual TVs because they had the one shot where two people were watching two different things. So, you know, yeah, it was a little more comfortable, I suppose.
Yeah.
Than some other planes, which probably didn't hurt.
Yeah, so, but still, you could combine these two technologies, I think, pretty easily to have a blanket that can tell when you're, you know, needing to be electrically stimulated. And
I will make you happy for the flight.
Yeah, a happy blanket.
It's pink for happy.
Sure. Or, you know.
Or no. Yeah, no, it was blue for happy. It was happy, wasn't it?
I think it was. It was, they kind of, you know, I have a feeling that this whatever the sensors they were using.
Yeah, happiness blanket is what they were calling it, so.
Yeah. I have a feeling the sensors may not have been, like, I'm not sure we're able to, like, pinpoint specific emotions. They probably had, like, kind of like a negative and a positive emotional state thing that was kind of, like, on a spectrum there. So it wasn't like, okay, he's 10% hungry, and 40% tired, and then just 50% pissed off about this kid in front of him.
I love it. They just have that annoying kid come up behind someone with a blanket and just start kicking it on, kicking the chair and the test subjects.
The blanket is just like starting from blue, turning to red.
It starts melting on the guy. He's so pissed off.
It starts just looking turns into like lava. The Eye of Sauron. There, it's just glowing. Oh, excuse me, Sauron. I misspoke. So, that's pretty crazy. I'm going to file that under kind of a science fiction kind of thing that we've got to see in our lifetime. So, I feel pretty psyched about that.
I don't mind using the words, we're living in the future.
Yeah. No, that's true.
Because I'm sure it'll get a little bit crazier, but this is... all this stuff is stranger than I ever imagined.
It's like Twitter, right? Come on.
Well, just the internet itself. I didn't get to watch the end of the season of The Americans, but it's funny because it's kind of set in the early 80s.
Oh, that sounded like a really good show. Yeah.
Right. Well, I guess it didn't dawn on me.
Russian spies living in America, right?
Yeah, Russian spies living in America. They're in D.C.
In the 80s.
In the 80s.
Cold War.
Yeah, Reagan's president.
Yeah.
So I'm not completely sure what that time frame is, but I guess I can look that up.
Hey, man, you know what? Our fans don't expect us to do any research.
Well, I mean, you were just kind of mentioning it, and but living in the future, like, it's kind of funny because one of the things that they end up trying to steal is plans for the internet.
They steal plans for the internet?
Well, it's being talked about.
Oh, back in the 80s. Right?
Like, back in the 80s. Like, I mean, they still have these giant-ass computers and everything. Like,
sure.
And, you know, they're taking up rooms. But the guy was just talking about the concept of having two computers, one in San Francisco and one in Japan was just the example, I believe, that he was using, talking to each other.
Yeah.
You know, it was a very rudimentary idea about what the internet is now.
Right.
But going, oh my gosh, like, I mean, as much as I've used it, I guess I never really researched the history of how the internet started. Like, I always heard the jokes about Al Gore inventing the internet.
Right.
But again, like, even when I heard those jokes, it didn't say to me, oh, why don't you go and find out what the real history of the internet is? And then this show came along, and it's just like, oh, that is really interesting. Like, I guess I've never thought about when it started, and I guess I wouldn't have thought that it was, like, the early to mid-80s.
Yeah, it's, I know that they, you know, started out with the first,
yeah, network. 81 to 89, so.
Yeah, I mean, they started to work on it back in the 60s when they started with the big mainframes and trying to connect them up and stuff, and, you know, I don't know if the 80s was, like, when they were starting with the internet, like, with being able to kind of have things, you know, be able to deal with, like, bad connections and kind of, like, trace a route, you know, or, you know, find a route to your destination, like, using different ways to get there if, you know, one way is blocked or whatever. Like, was that the kind of stuff they were talking about, like, in...
No, that's literally all the guy explained.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Like, because they just went... because I only saw one scene, and again, I didn't get to see the end of the season, so they might have talked more about it later in the season. But for whatever reason, my DVR just stopped recording it. Like, it recorded, like, the first, like, 5 to 7 episodes of the season, and then just stopped recording it. Normally, if it erases old shows, You know, it erases, well, yeah, it erases the older shows, like if I have an episode limit on it, but I don't have an episode limit on it, so it just kind of stopped at three. So I got, you know, I got, it was kind of nice that I got to watch consecutive, but the only part that the guy explained, at least to that point in the show, was, you know, trying to get two computers in two different places to connect, to be able to talk.
Gotcha.
So they didn't really go beyond that, but again, like, to me, it was just more interesting going, oh, holy shit, like, it was that long ago that they were thinking about it.
Like, I remember when, yeah, when you went to college and got an email account, like, that was all, like, kind of futuristic at the time.
Yeah.
What? And then you started, like, hearing about the internet and being like, what? What is this all about? It was like right around that time, I guess, for me at least, it was like the mid-90s, you know.
Right, yeah. During
college, yeah.
Yeah, no, that all kind of happened during college, so.
But this was more earlier times, I guess we're talking about.
Yeah, like it was even earlier. I guess, like I said, I hadn't thought about the birth of it and how it all started.
Right, because it was like a government, well, I mean, I think it was kind of international, like, different agencies around the world kind of working together a little bit, you know, taking pieces and parts that people kind of
came up with. Yeah, no, because they had taken, they had also, during the season, they had kidnapped this one guy who was supposed to help them develop it before the U.S. So, I mean, there were already, I guess, other people that were known for it, too, at the time. But, yeah, no, it was a bit of an arms race, so to speak, to create the internet.
Yeah. And I was so just... So,
plans got around.
Yeah.
I mean, I would guess, even if this particular story isn't, you know, true, I would imagine something like it's possible.
Yeah,
like... You know, I mean, we knew that there were Russian spies around, so, I mean, why wouldn't a story like that be...
Right, I mean, didn't they just...
Conceivable.
Didn't they just find a Russian spy a couple years ago? I mean,
that
does happen, I guess, you know?
Right.
And that would have happened more so
back then
when there was actually, you know, pretty much open antagonism between the U.S. and USSR. Look it up, kids.
Oh, well...
Well, I just wanted to say something, though, real quick, is...
Yeah.
Talking about the beginning of the internet, because they have... something I did not realize is that NASA has a network separate from the internet that can transfer, like, data, like, crazy fast. Like, they said it can go across the country, they can... And, like, it's for scientists to, like, share data with each other. Like, from, like, I don't know if you'd read anything about, like, the Large Hadron Collider.
Oh, right.
And, like, how much data is produced by that. And they, to be able to share that data, like, they had been, like, shipping hard drives back and forth, you know. Like, big hard drives, because it's so much, you know. But,
Okay.
So, they've been working on, like, basically a separate internet just for scientists to use.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and they've got speeds up to 91 gigabits per second. So that's like that set the record for like the fastest network speed over long distance between computers. So
yeah, and a gigabit is 10 times larger than a byte, right?
I should know that, but a gigabit, usually, like, your home internet service is in megabits per second.
Right.
So mine is, like, 30, I think, megabits. So a gigabit is 1,000 times more than a megabit. So that would be, like...
Oh, okay.
3,000 times faster.
Yeah, that's a lot faster.
So...
That is a whole lot faster.
Yeah. So, wait, that'd be 90,000? Yeah, no. I'm right. Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to say I'm right. No, I am right.
Okay, excellent. I'm glad you're right.
My calculator out. My blanket told me I was correct, so I always trust my blanket.
Oh. Well, we can definitely move on to something else.
Do we have to?
We don't have to. Okay. But this one seems like it's dying an appropriate death. Oh, man. Here.
We could go another 10 minutes for sure, I think. But okay, we can move on.
Well, we can move on to something that is on the internet.
Oh, yeah.
Well, everything's on the internet.
I love the internet, yeah.
But he's the guy's name is, well, at least the character's name is Lonnie.
Oh, yeah.
And he has a, this guy has a YouTube show.
Sure, yeah. I mean, it's...
And I'm not sure how deep into it they are at this point.
Well, they just came out with their second season recently.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so there's two seasons on YouTube. And the show is called Next Time on Lonnie. And the idea is that there's this reality show called Lonnie. And each video starts with, like, you know, a couple minutes left in the episode. So you see, like, you know, a normal kind of reality show, you know, single dude in the city kind of, you know, I don't know.
It's usually a short segment about, you know, yeah, like you said.
He's trying to date a girl, or he's on a date with a girl, or, you know.
Or, yeah, he was just trying to watch the movies the one night.
Yeah, it's always something kind of
mundane,
exactly.
Yeah.
And then they go to the... Next time on Lonnie, and that's kind of when the shit hits the fan, so to speak. Yeah, because they are very, you know, it just everything goes off the handle. Like,
well, and completely off the handle because there are vampires involved.
Right, there's like supernatural, like extraterrestrials, like.
There was a dog who was the harbinger of the apocalypse.
Yes, and then ended up, yeah. Well, we don't want to spoil everything, I guess. But it's a pretty funny show. I think very inventive. Like, I've never seen a show that takes, like... Because it is true, like, on those reality shows, everyone knows. Like, they have, like, the Next Time on, and then they, like, show, like, the most...
Outrageous
stuff, like, all edited together. And so this, like, takes this idea, except, like, brings it to a place that is completely insane. Which, you know, I like that kind of humor, so it really made me laugh.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Is it just turns it into something completely absurd. And, like, one of the funnier parts to me, too, is that it never seems to bother him from episode to episode. No matter what crazy shit happens to him, he's always kind of surprised at the next crazy thing happening to him.
Right. It's basically like they reset all the crazy stuff. Like, you never... Well, yeah, there might be a couple episodes where they actually reference something that had happened before, but...
But yeah. He still... Oh, well, maybe that's a little down the line, or...
Yeah.
I feel like if he did acknowledge it, it was just kind of blown off and he kept on moving.
Right. I mean, absolutely anything can happen. Like, anything can happen to Lonnie. Like, people can be murdered. And I've noticed, like, his one friend, Garrett, is usually killed and somehow during the Next Time
part. Oh, he is kind of like their version of Kenny.
Yes. Yeah. So he, like, gets his throat slit or, stabbed. It's
yeah, even if it's not technically him as the character, or yeah, if it's not him getting it, it's like him as a character in the next episode.
Yeah, there's an alien race that comes and enslaves the Earth at one of the next times, one of the early ones. So yeah, I mean, anything can happen, and it's always you know, they pull it off of being surprising about it, though. So I it's funny.
Yeah, and the other thing that just really gets to me is that there's the next time on the next time.
Oh, yeah, the next time after that time.
Oh, yeah, the next time after that time. Hey, I think the name is just hilarious in and of itself. And just the fact that they thought to be even bigger smartasses about the whole thing.
Speaking of smartasses, they take it up to 11, I guess, I would say.
Yeah, no, they definitely turn it up to 11 on being smartasses.
Yeah. The next time, after that time, it's kind of like back to like a confessional like reality show shot where he's like talking to the camera.
Oh.
And it's usually like, wow, that was really crazy.
Yeah. That...
or some variation. Yeah.
He's just kind of acknowledging the craziness without, it's still, he's kind of not completely wrapped in it, up in it anymore. Like well, but that is part of those segments of those reality shows is that the people have had a chance to step back and they aren't quite as crazed about the whole situation, I guess.
Reflective, yeah.
Yeah, they try to have him be a little more reflective, and he's certainly reflective in those segments.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think more people should check this show out because it's really funny. It's a little... about 7 minutes chunks. Oh, the other one that I really liked was the Choose Your Own Lonnie episode, where you can actually click and like pick what you want him to do.
And, like, that's like, outstanding.
It'll take you to a different video, and you watch that, and then you can make a choice. So that was really fun.
That is a real... because, I mean, when you get to pick stuff on a TV show, you don't really... get to see the other outcomes that could have happened. So even if they only did two outcomes, like, each way, they still provided two outcomes. So, I mean, I'd probably end up going back through and watching both of them or making I caught all the patterns.
Yeah, well, I didn't go through every choice and do the other one, but there are, like, branching paths you can take because, I think the first choice was when he gets up to, like, there's, like, a dinner party he's having with some friends, and then, like, he gets up, and the choices are, like, make a great toast or say the N-word. And so, like, then you can, like, follow through on the consequences of having done, you know, certain things. So, it's pretty you know, thought provoking and entertaining. check it out.
Okay. Well, we've got a couple of things that we could go with. We got outrageous entries from the beard and mustache competition, or astounding Asian structures. Or we could revisit a topic from last week and finish this puppy out with a little bit of World Cup action talk.
Yeah, well, I've been kind of getting into the World Cup this year, so I feel like we should cover it a little bit.
Excellent, because I saw this morning on the Twitter that the Brazil-Germany game was the most tweeted about sports event ever now.
Wow. So that beat out the 1934 Brazil loss when they got blown out back then. Oh, no. I think it was just another team. It was like the worst. Maybe it was Brazil. Yeah. The worst loss for Brazil since 1934.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, Twitter was not as widely used back in 1934, so it's not really fair to compare, I guess.
No, that comparison is not fair, but,
yeah, they got blown out pretty bad.
I mean, my whole timeline, like, this was the story that I had, is that I was at the office, and I'm listening to the match. I hear the first goal get scored, I'm still doing a little bit of work, but then I need to ask one of my coworkers a question about, Revit, and... I start talking to him, and, you know, he just gives me the answer and runs me through something, and I go to put my headphones back on, and at that point, it sounds like the announcers are talking about a second goal, and I'm just like, oh, wow, I can't believe it's 2-0, and then they go, oh my God, and another one goes in. It's 5-0 Germany. I'm like, what in the hell happened? Like, I mean, it did happen so quick. I mean, they scored 4 goals in a 6-minute time span.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because it seems like in the knockout stage, as they say, where you know, you lose and go home, more like a traditional playoff, I guess.
Right.
It seems like teams have been playing more conservatively, at least from what I can tell. Like, the scores are lower for sure.
Yeah, no, there have been more games going to overtimes.
Yeah.
More games going to the penalty kicks.
Yeah, the other game today went to penalty kicks, too.
Argentina and the Netherlands went to penalty kicks. Because, well, but it was kind of funny, comparing the two, because I listened to the first half today, and the announcers were so disgusted by the action. It was hilarious. Like, they had more fun calling a complete and utter blowout. Just because, I mean, they did. They had something to talk about. Like, I mean, they kept on going, I can't believe this is happening. And then, of course, the stat parade came out, too. You know, this many goals hasn't ever been scored this fast.
Sure, they all love that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it was just a cavalcade of stats after that. And
No matter what sport you're broadcasting, if you're a broadcaster, you love the to bring out stats when it's like records are being set, or it's been 70 years since something such and such has happened. That's like your, you know, that's like your dream come true.
Yeah, it's your bread and butter. And they did not shy away from it at all. Of course, the announcer did end up saying, though, he goes, well, we could really do this to death, but he finally did cut himself off.
I'm surprised he didn't say that Germany was on pace to score 21 goals.
Thankfully, I did not hear that. Oh my gosh, I didn't even think about that.
Maybe that's just an American sports trope. I don't know if other countries do that, where they tell how many they're on pace to score. Probably not in soccer, because it's so unpredictable. But, yeah, I would have enjoyed that a little bit. Because I don't think they could say that to be serious.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know how announcers can say that to be serious, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, just because there's so many American sports that say it's just like, honestly, like, you're even going to go there. They're right on pace to score 108 points today in an NFL game.
Right.
It's like, yeah, okay, dude. Yep, they're going to score 119. Gotcha, check.
Well, yeah. And it's like, prior performance does not guarantee future performance. So it's just a logical fallacy. I think that's what we're trying to say here.
Oh, right.
Keep it together, people.
So
come on, we're talking to you, announcers. We're calling you out. Stop with the whole on pace to score 100 points in an NFL game. That's ridiculous. Anyway.
Oh.
But, yeah, so to see, I guess what I was trying to say is that the teams have been playing more conservative. So it was very surprising to see how they scored so many goals, you know. Like, it just seemed like Brazil completely fell apart. Like, they were just totally disorganized.
Yeah, no, I couldn't believe how... I mean, they were just saying how bad the defense was. I mean, and they were worried about, or more people were worried about the offensive player, Neymar not being there. But I'm trying to think of the defensive player that was missing, because he was the idiot that was off because of cards.
Oh.
So he screwed himself.
Well, so is he out for the next game or just that game?
Just that game. I think it was an accumulation of yellow cards.
Okay.
So, yeah, but he obviously was more of a problem, is a missing person than the offensive player, because I don't care how many, how good Neymar is, you do not typically score 7 goals.
Right, no.
Like, in anything.
Sure. I mean, his, like, whatever, goals above replacement should not be 7 for one player.
Yeah.
I mean, that may put, actually, you know, Tim Howard's performance more in perspective, that he was able to stop so many goals from going in against the Germans, because obviously they can score a lot of goals.
Well, he did that against the Belgians, though.
He did.
The U.S. lost to Germany 1-0, which a lot of people did point out, too, because, oh, and that was the other thing. As soon as I put my headphones back on for that game and found out it was 5-0, I looked on Twitter, and my whole timeline was just stuff about the match. Like, nobody could believe it. It was just like, holy shit. Like, just everything and all kinds of, like, just brutal jokes.
Yeah.
Like, the Germans are getting into Brazil like it's 1946. Was one of them. I was just like, oh my god.
Too soon.
And so, I mean, I saw all kinds of good ones. And one of my favorites from today was, for every 7 jokes I saw about Brazil, I only saw 1 good one.
Oh, really?
Which, since it's the score, there was only 1 good Brazilian.
Oh, my God, I missed that. Yeah,
I was just like, oh, man. I was like, that is outstanding.
But, yeah, I mean, I guess the coach, like, accepted responsibility afterwards, I saw. But, like, I don't know what the heck happened. Like, it just seems crazy.
There's just no good way to describe what happened other than just, that is a disaster.
Yeah.
You know, just in every way.
And just that they were the host country, too. Like, that's just like...
And the worst a host country had lost prior to this was by 3 goals.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and that had happened 3 or 4 times. And then I think one team lost by 2. One home country had lost by 2 was the next largest defeat.
2?
Yeah.
Holy smokes. So yeah, this was a lot more than previous, but and god, like, with all like the controversy about them having the World Cup there in the first place, and then like, you know, spending all this money on these stadiums to like basically be embarrassed in front of the world, like to watch your country just be like, or your flag get like stepped on by.
Well, I saw people burning the flag before halftime. Like, wait, there were pictures of it.
Like, Brazilians were?
Brazilians.
Well,
they were a little bent out of shape about this one.
What was the score at that point?
5-0.
Oh, it's game over. Yeah. I think this, you know, you can take out your notebook. Oh,
yeah, no. You wrote, I wrote game over. I only heard number 5. So, yeah, no, it was game over. Like, I listened to the rest of it just because.
Yeah, just to see how high it would go, I guess.
Yeah. I did miss Brazil scoring their one and only goal. But
I think that did little to assuage the beating that they suffered from. Ugh, that's the worst. I mean, man.
It's an ass kicking of epic proportions,
and on so many levels, and like on real levels. It's like, yeah. Ugh, too bad.
I mean, the only thing I can think to compare it to would be San Francisco beating Denver in, I'm trying to remember which Super Bowl that was, when they won 49-14. It was just such a beatdown, you know, in such a large game, too. I mean, it was the semifinals of the World Cup, like, and I guess that's the other thing that you have to have a little perspective on.
Right.
Is that, it just doesn't... I mean, that's hard happening at the club level for someone to score 7 goals. For it really to happen, and like you said, everyone's playing more conservatively.
Yeah.
How does 7 goals happen?
Right. I mean...
There's no good way to say it other than the players just kind of gave up. I didn't actually see any of the goals. I just heard it. And, I mean, the announcers, again, they were just destroying the Brazilian defense.
Oh, man, I imagine that
they didn't really blame the goalkeeper too much.
Right. I mean, there's only so much you can do, but... as one player, but they just got like totally from what I was listening to ex-Brazilian player, and he was just saying about how it was just like he had never seen anything like that before, and he just looked completely like shocked and like what the hell's going on. He was just like, they were just like so disorganized and like didn't look like they knew where to be or like what to do. So like they may just, like you say, they may just have like, you know, given up or just like stopped playing, just quit basically.
Yeah, no, because I guess that was one of the other funny tweets that I've read. They're like, if you're going to throw the game, you've got to at least look like you're trying, right?
Ouch.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It's just like, okay, like, no, seriously, like, this is so bad that you can't be throwing this.
Yeah, like, I was a latecomer on this one. Like, I didn't realize that the match was going on until, well, I knew it was on, but then I just didn't listen to it, but, when I saw the score at the end, I was like, what? Like, I had to, like, keep looking at it to make sure that I wasn't crazy or something.
Yeah, and I was trying to find the stat today. I thought it was in my Twitter timeline, but I seem to have lost it. But they were comparing that to what else it would be. And it was, like, 14 NHL goals, 22 runs in baseball... 109 points in football.
Wow. Talk about your 100-point games, yeah.
Yeah, and 484 points in basketball. So, you know, I mean, yeah, I mean, that's how unfathomable it was. Because it was some, and I don't know, I think it was an ESPN stat, so... I don't know how they made that up exactly, but I mean, I don't really disagree with the proportioning, but you've also got to, again, mention, like, the timing of it, because I feel like I've definitely seen some double-digit goal games, not a whole lot of them, but I feel like I've seen 10, 11, I'm not sure I've ever seen 14.
Wow.
yeah,
no. And I've never seen 100 points scored in an NFL game.
Right. And 22 in baseball, I feel like it's been done. But it's not like one of those things just like, oh, yeah, someone scored 22 runs today. Like, it's one of those, holy shit, they scored 21 runs today.
Yeah. That is a... And for it to happen at a World Cup, And
yeah, that'd be like saying it happened at the 22-run game happened at the World Series.
Yeah, I mean, I had heard that the Brazilian players were like committing a lot of fouls in their last game and just kind of like playing like thugs, it sounded like.
Yeah, people were starting to doubt whether they'd win the previous game. But I didn't really think that much of it. I hadn't listened to too many of their matches, and I hadn't seen too many either. So, I don't know. I guess if I don't see it, I don't judge it as...
It's harder to get a feel for everything, yeah.
Right. So, even though I might have heard things here and there, it's just like, well, okay. And sometimes, just in a short tournament like that,
or a shirt tournament.
Yeah, I mean, you can get your shit together in a hurry. Like, sometimes one game does not always reflect the next. Because, yeah. I feel, oh, that was the one thing today. They're talking about, well, if either of these teams plays like this against Germany, they're going to lose. And it's just like, well, why do you think they're going to play this way against Germany? Like, I would hope that you would tailor your attack somewhat to what the other team is, what the other team does.
Yeah.
You know, I would think that you would maybe change, well, yeah, I mean, people change tactics all the time. You know, maybe they don't use the same, or maybe they use the same formation, but they'll change how they attack. You know, instead of going up the flanks, maybe they go down the middle. Or, you know, maybe they mix it up a little bit more. You know, there's all kinds of things you can change. And, yeah, it's just like, no, they can play a completely different game. So, I mean, I think there's a very easy, you know, even if you hear something bad, for me in a short tournament like that, you can kind of erase a bad game very quickly.
Yeah.
Or you can erase a good game very quickly, too.
Well, this one is going to be hard to erase from a lot of people's memories, I think. pretty memorable game. That's something you can say for sure.
Yeah, well, one thing that will not erase your memory would be the Sippy Time Beer of the Week.
Yes.
Which is from Seventh Son here in Columbus. They have a beer called Waffles Session Ale. And they are casking various beers over the summer here and releasing them every Wednesday. So I picked up their special today, which also has additional citra hops, dried marjoram, and osanthamus flowers.
Osanthamus. Interesting.
Yes. Yeah. And... yeah, you can, I didn't taste that much marjoram in there, but you definitely get a little more of the hop flavor. I've had the beer before, so I guess I can tell the difference between, the regular beer and the cask variety.
Gotcha.
And, yeah, the hops was not that present, and, I'm not sure if I got that much marjoram, but I definitely kind of got a bit of a floral, note in there.
Yeah. Well, I definitely picked up a lot of flavors from it, and I enjoyed it. And it's lesser alcohol content than some craft beers. So
yeah, it was 3.8%. So that is going pretty easy on the old cranium here.
Yeah, if we sound a little less drunk out of our minds, then that's why.
Yeah, no, I do have a tendency to get high ABV beers, so this one, a little bit easier on the system.
Yeah,
this week.
I think we kept it together pretty well.
Okie doke. Well, at Stunt Granny, at DeFrango11, at Gozer33, at Stunt Dusty, at Granny Maze, and at ShaFomD, and at Chris Calamedia. So, I believe that's all the plugs. I will let you take us out, Ken.
All right. Well, it was another great week of OPA. And everybody out there, have a great week.